Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review another value-priced wine from Bordeaux. This time, the Chateau Pays-la-Tour. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm very glad to be here
with you,
Rob the Wine Guy.
Are you?
I'm feeling Frenchy.
Are you feeling Frenchy?
That's the inflection of my voice. Oh, that's what that is.
That's French?
No, it's just I'm feeling pressured, and I know the importance of us doing French Bordeaux. It's making me feel shaky with my voice.
You know, I don't kiss French. I don't French kiss. I don't kiss that way.
You don't?
No, no. You know how I kiss?
I get afraid to ask.
I kiss the Czechoslovakian way. You don't want to know what that is.
We don't.
No.
We don't.
It involves your armpit, first of all.
I'm sure you were going to tell us that.
Yes, an elbow. Yes.
An elbow and an armpit.
An elbow and an arm. It's very sexual. You see,
the elbow and the armpit from the same person, are both those persons alive?
No, it's bits and pieces from my freezer. How do you save an armpit is a hard thing to harvest. Never mind, I'm going off the rails.
Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a wine from a winery in France, in Bordeaux specifically. And it's from kind of a centralized producer. We've dealt with wines like this before. Chateau Bordeaux is one. The Legend by Rothschild is another. Clarendel is another.
Opryon.
Opryon is another. Well, no, Opryon isn't one. Opryon controls
makes Clarendel.
Yeah, and this is Chateau Pays-la-Tour. Now, the company the centralized winemaker that controls this and multiple other chateaus is called Maison d'Urth. They've been around in France in some capacity, in some level, in some existence, since around 1840 is what they claim.
Which means they're rookies.
Sort of. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that this was probably was a chateau, their own chateau? I think they have something under the d'Urth label. Never seen it anywhere. It's probably not in the United States. But they have something under that. It's just a minor chateau. And what you'll have is this grander place that buys up some other chateaus. They might have them. They might have had them 20 years, 50 years. I don't know how long they've had them. And they produce under different labels. Now, they might pull from certain chateaus and make other things as well. So that's kind of what you've got. Here you've got, I believe, an estate-bottled Bordeaux. It is predominantly Merlot, 91%, 5% Cab, and 4% Cab Franc. That varies from vintage to vintage. This is the 19. The 21 has like 79% Merlot with more Cab. And then the 20 has, I think, somewhere in the 70s to 80s% Merlot with more Cab. And then they also sometimes add in Petit Verdot. So you're seeing the blend actually move towards a little more Cab in there over these years. In the past, from like 19 back, it was mostly the 95-5 or 4-1, something like that, every single year. And this has been around for many years, too. I mean, wine.com sells this, you know, a lot. And they've done quite well with it, I think, because it's one of these things where they can, yeah, it's $15.99. People will buy it. I mean, we have it here in Ohio, which is a rare thing. Oh, it's like it's a Bordeaux. That's a shock. But, you know, this goes back to 2007, at least on their website, but it's probably before that, you know. And it's a good value. Is it a good wine? We have no fucking idea. I mean, we have no idea, no expectations about this wine. We've had wines like this in this price range that we've really enjoyed. And we've had wines like this in this price range that we thought were dog shit.
Yep.
I mean, it just depends. Normally, this level, when it's controlled by one of these producers, like the Board New or one of those things, there is a certain basic level of quality that you should expect. The ones that you don't see that on, because we just had one, I don't know if we've aired it yet, but it's one from Kroger's now that they have, and whatever store you're near is like a Kroger's. There's, what is it called? Is it Roberts? It doesn't matter. Messons, shit, bird, whatever it was. And they have a full line of different Bordeaux. They have a Medoc. They have a Grand Vin. They have a Bordeaux Superior. They even have something from Chenon. And it's all under this one winery. I even think they do some Pinot and stuff like that on it. And Scott and I had the Medoc on here. We had the Old Medoc. And it was horrible. But it's the same premise. So it's a roll of dice. Costco has some of these things to a lesser degree. They are lower level ones than this, mind you. But they might even sell something like this. There are wines that sometimes they sell in $12, $13, $15. This is the kind of lineage that those wines are from.
Yep.
There's a grander producer overseeing them, making them, and they're not designed to get a 95 from the Wine Spectator.
We found over the years some home runs in this price range.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Bordeaux, no. But little French things that are just badass. Or badass. Mm-hmm. Old de Lyon.
Old de Lyon is one, yeah. Old de Lyon is a good example. Although I don't
Louis
know,
Bernard.
But that Louis Bernard is Louis Bernard. Louis Bernard is not that. First of all, it's Rhone, and Louis Bernard is a producer like Jagal.
Price range.
Oh, you mean that. Oh, yeah.
Found little gems.
What was the Chateau Larouque? Remember the Larouque?
And we could never get it again, right?
No, it was in wine.com for a fleeting moment. It was really nice. It was the same price as this. Hopefully, this wine is like that. That would be lovely. That was a wonderful, elegant wine.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we will see. But first, we will take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 19... Chateau Pellatour. There are no reviews of this wine this year. I mean, in the past, I think the 17 got like a wine enthusiast reviewed it. James at one point reviewed it. All things which would moisten your nether regions, I'm sure. If he gave it a 90, it's like, oh, the enthusiast gave it a 90. Well, I was on the fence, but now I'm fucking buying a case of that shit. Oh my God. James gave it a 91. Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but now, motherfucker. Oh, my God. Bring in the fucking palate, man.
There you go.
Fuck you.
Actually gave it a 91 years, which is shocking. Few of his
I
points.
Have a heart on right now. That is, I mean, it's just like, man.
Well, you already did your Wilford voice, so there you go.
That's right. I just looked down. He does, and it's just amazing. Wait a minute. Is that me? I don't know which one it is. It's kind of, there's a duality. I don't
understand.
There's
definitely duality.
He's not wearing sweatpants, though, so that's good.
Well,
that's
in his mind, he is.
No, he's not. No. I am, but actually, tonight, I'm wearing pajama pants. They have that open barn door.
Oh, my.
Don't you hate the ones that have the button? Because when you have to pee in the night, you have to enter and unbutton the fucking barn door. It's annoying to me. I don't know. Maybe it's normal for you, Scott.
I tend to not use pajamas.
What, you go naked?
Got to do what you got to do.
I would assume your wife does not prefer you to sleep naked.
You don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not a mind reader, but... Or a genie, but I think I could guess
in a bottle
that she's not going to make that as a wish. Let me wish for Scott to sleep naked. No one has ever done that before.
It's part of our vows.
No. Is that in sickness and in health?
That would be in sickness and in health.
During mental cruelty and physical abuse? Is that what that is?
No,
custom vows, I would assume.
It's just a custom.
A custom?
It's just a custom.
It is. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Maybe
there's a lot of that going on, too.
Yeah, that's what it's like, what?
Stop it.
Deb, why do you keep pepper spray on your nightstand?
Well, I'll show you why.
It's like every night's a family vacation. Long trip in the car. Stop touching me. He's touching me again. Stop touching me.
You know.
History comes back to revisit itself.
What history?
Of family vacations.
Oh, okay. Well, since we have no reviews, we do have a wine in the glass. And by the way, this is on stainless steel. Stainless steel vats. There's no oak introduced to this wine. So
makes me nervous.
Well, it should be. I mean, there's malolactic fermentation and whatnot. But when you're losing that element of French oak on a Bordeaux, you're going to lose a little bit of complexity. Because then you're just warm. Then you're just relying completely on the terroir to make the wine. And normally in a $15 wine, it needs a little bit of help. The terroir just isn't necessarily enough.
The other thing, there's no exchange with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have the concrete garriques.
Yeah, because it
than
does
stainless steel, because there is some interaction with the environment. There is some give and take with what goes into the concrete and what comes out from the concrete.
Yeah. Yeah, you can also get a little more concentration with that evaporation. It's just, there's just a little bit more nuance. There's no reason why they couldn't have done a little bit of this. I mean, okay, so it costs $16, not $15. Whatever. But just give a little twinkle there. I guess they saved that for their next levels up. I don't know. It's hard to track some of these wines when you see the other different, because I would name the other chateaus. They have them listed on their website. You go check it out. There'll be a link. But a link on the Libsyn. A Libsyn page, just check that out. Go to it, take a look at it. But yeah, you never heard of them. So, and if you did, you said, "What the fuck is that wine?" Because it was a Giant Eagle and it was $17. You never heard of the damn chateau.
Basically. They probably don't even have it at the Giant Eagle.
No, probably not.
It's at the Save-A-Lot.
The nose, though, is very perfumey, but in a raspberry fruity kind of way.
Rob broke out the big boy glasses today.
Bordeaux, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's
no, it's not. Yeah.
These are the big glasses. Mm-hmm. And beautiful Grand Bordeaux. Legs. Beautiful mm-hmm. legs. Really beautiful legs. No tartaric crystal.
It's 14.5% alcohol, which is high for traditionally for a great Bordeaux. Normally those are in the 13s, you know. But it is 14.5, so.
Oh, yeah.
Raspberry compote. A little cherry cordial. Some menthol.
And like a little floral thing in the background.
Yeah.
Maybe lavender, but it's just a little floral element in the background.
It's a muddled kind of, lily-ish kind of.
Yeah.
Easter lily.
Yeah. It's fine. This is a fine nose. Actually, it's a promising nose for this wine to have some quality to it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by the nose, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Yeah, although, I mean, the overall, the muddleness and the brashness of the raspberry does concern me just a touch.
It came off at first as kind of jammy, but then it's really a succinct raspberry note.
There might be a note of tobacco back in there, too.
We're going in.
Bone dry. You know, they say it doesn't have oak, but then you, on the finish, you have a bit of toasty warmth that is equated to oak.
Interesting.
That's an oaky finish.
It, if that's not oaked, we've never drank red wine before.
That's oak.
That's oak.
Yeah. There is no, that is not a naturally occurring flavor in a grape that isn't on oak. Because that's oak, dipshits. We are French. We Maison d'Oeuvre. We have it in the stainless steel. Oh, stainless steel is made of wood, is it not? It is not? Oh, why do I sound German? Yeah, that's oak, you jackasses. I'm not complaining, but I am. Fucking get your shit together.
Well, it's just dumb.
Well, let's just look at it again. Let's look at it again. What the hell did I just do? I don't want to do that. All right. 19. Fine technique. Fiche technique. This is their tech sheet. And it says, aging 12 months in vats.
Okay.
Then up top it says, vinification in temperature-controlled stainless steel vats. Maybe they have oak vats? I mean, I don't know. But it is on oak. I mean, there's no doubting on that. And it lingers.
Oh, we forgot we put it on oak.
Oops. As a wine, as a drinking wine, it has a very pleasing mouthfeel, maybe even just a touch of cream. How dare I say that? The mid palate is really where it's nice because the Merlot brings forth some subtle chocolate notes that has just also interlaced with a little tobacco. So the mid palate is very, very nice. The front palate is very, very nice in its texture. The fruit is very minute, but there is a little bit of a plum. There is a little bit of a black cherry. It is very subtle, but it is nice. It is nice. It's not a wine that is going to shock you. It is not a wine that is going to scare you either.
It's
easy to drink wine.
Rob, that the reserve,
yes,
is aged for 12 to 14 months in the barrel hall.
This is not a reserve.
Correct.
Why would you?
They forgot.
I don't know.
We're lucky. We got the reserve.
We got the reserve.
But they labeled it.
They call it reserve? Because that's not really a French
reserve
term.
Reserve du Chateau.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah. Whatever. Do what you want. Mm. You know.
Oh, they are.
Oh, I know that they are. Yeah, that's very apparent. Yeah.
It's just puzzling.
It is puzzling. I don't know.
Aged in stainless steel vats. No, it's not. I don't know if I'm more upset that they mismarked it or... or it tastes like it's aged in oak.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing else you can come across that's characteristic. I mean, this is like toasty oak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's in a minor sense, but yeah, it is.
It's
does have an oaky element to it, yeah.
It's nice.
But it's good. It's not a wine that is going to change your life. I'm not going to say to you, folks, Chateau Pelletour, if you drink it, your life will be enriched. Suddenly, you'll be 6 inches taller. If you're a man, your dick is going to get bigger, you know, anything like that. I'm not going to say that. Although it might make your dick bigger. I don't know.
I don't think it will.
No.
Isn't that bread and butter Merlot's main commercial?
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No.
Well, so why do people buy it, though?
Well, why do they?
It's not going to make your dick bigger. Why would you buy it? Because it tastes like shit, you know? I did notice that Mayomi, they finally realized that putting your Cap Bernet in a Pinot bottle, well, I'm sorry, Pinot bottle in air quotation marks is stupid, so they put it in a Cap Bernet bottle.
Good for them.
That's going to help it sell, you know?
Well.
You know, maybe they shouldn't take a shit in the bottle before they sell it, but, you know, Cap Bernet. Mayomi.
Yeah.
Battling it out for the scourge of life with Bonanza.
Bonanza.
But if I was to pick the two, I'd pick Bonanza. I don't know why. I'd drink Bonanza before I drink Cabus's California Cabernet. Why? Because if you're going to waste money, you might as well waste less money. You know?
Okay.
I can't believe they did a Californian $70 bottle of wine. That takes some balls, man.
It does take some
big
balls.
Fucking balls. Because there are no prime plots in Monterey that I'm aware of, that I've ever heard of.
You're saying Lodi, Cab?
Yeah. Yeah, Lodi and Cab. No.
Lodi,
no.
Cab. I'm not saying that. Monterey Cab and North Shore Cab.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm not. I'm definitely, definitely never saying that. Ever. Not once.
Or is there a reason that Camus is marketing a California line?
That's a very good question.
Properly label something that they've been producing and labeling otherwise?
I don't know. That's a very good question. It's questionable, but you know.
No, I think they just got big balls.
Do they?
I think if you market a California designate wine for $70, you've got the biggest balls of them all.
But you've seen his son, Joey Wagner, in his stupid little blazer with the patches on his elbows. His testicles are not large. He's got small balls. It's pretty obvious.
It's just a figure of speech.
No. I've literally, anatomically, probably small. Very small. Like little two grapes. M dropped. Just, you know. I mean, drink Elowan. I don't want to. We've had Elowan. Or was it Bowen? Which one? It's both, isn't it?
It is both.
It's both.
it's both.
Oh, man. It's not like it's bad. Well, it might be bad now, but it wasn't like it was bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
But there just was a Kool-Aid element to it.
Yes.
I mean, Steve, the superstar, really liked it. Why? Because he likes Kool-Aid. You know, it's just...
Well, he likes things that you can drink five bottles of it.
Yeah, but I mean...
I think, to be fair...
It's pretend wine.
I don't think it's pretend wine.
It's pretend wine.
It's not real wine.
It's pretend wine.
It's mass market.
Pinot should taste like feet. That's just the truth.
Well,
it should taste like dirty feet.
Very few California Pinots exhibit that characteristic.
New World Winery is like, that's right. Our wine tastes like feet. It actually doesn't.
Well,
it tastes like...
Fucking, their feet in it.
Nobody fucking knows what it tastes like.
It should taste like feet.
It should. I wish it did. Be better.
Maybe it just tastes like belly button fuzz.
Impulse. Red wine with a lot of Chardonnay. It's like, it tastes like fucking Chardonnay, dickhead. But it's red. Yes. Why would you do that? Because I ran out of enough red grapes. It's like putting water on your cereal. I ran out of Merlot. So what do? I got a lot of this orange Chardonnay. We'll pour it in there. Okay. I don't have any coffee creamer. Well, you know. Put some milk in there. Put some skim milk in there. No. You don't do that, do you? You don't do that. I would like to say, I do like an iced coffee, but just unsweetened, right? So Starbucks makes like the blonde roast in the jug, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
A blonde roast, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Higher caffeine.
It is higher caffeine. But that's a really nice drink. I'm going to have one in the morning.
If you want to go crazy, add the almond milk.
I don't have any almond milk.
At Starbucks, they have almond milk.
I know, but I don't get it. I know. I make it here. I buy it here. I just get a regular coffee there.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
But, you know, by the way.
It pisses me off when you're going to go in, get the Starbucks. I don't regularly stop at the Starbucks. I love their coffee, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
But you jones in for that good Starbucks coffee,
mm-hmm.
and you have a mindset, I want the blonde roast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll have to brew that for you.
They said that this morning. Yes. Oh, by the way, I would like to tell an organization or a company that they can go fuck themselves. All right. Now, this is not wine related. It's not wine.com. You're safe right now. Although, you know, whatever. There's nothing really I want to buy on you anyway. But still, Firestone Complete Auto Care can go fuck itself. So I had work done on one of my cars, right? And it needs two new rear tires. So I had an appointment to go down there and have the tires put on. I did not get the tires put on. Do you know why?
Why?
Firestone told me that one of my wheels had swollen lug nuts. Swollen lug nuts. Now, mind you,
they said this with a straight face.
Swollen lug nuts. Now, mind you, these two wheels were just off on Wednesday. They were removed. Apparently, there's been swelling in the lug nuts since they were removed and put back on since Wednesday. So they said, you need to get new lug nuts. And I said, well, you need to go suck a dick. But I was like, okay, how much are lug nuts? So the guy goes in and he calls his supplier for lug nuts. Now, mind you, you can get fucking lug nuts anywhere, right? His supplier said they're $12 a lug nut. Meanwhile, I pulled it up on Amazon. I said, you can buy a whole set for the whole fucking truck for $25 because they're fucking lug nuts. And I told the guy, fuck you. Get my car off the list. I'm not doing shit here. But this is not the only time. Folks, do not go to Firestone Complete Auto Care because they do not they're not able to work on cars. You're better off finding a giraffe on the side of the road with a wrench to wander around your car and try to fix it. They're dipshits. Don't use them. Don't use them. This kid also, if he needed to use a lug wrench, he wasn't strong enough to because he looked like he was 13.
Total commission-based business for the managers. Managers don't get paid a wage that would cause them to have integrity.
No, they don't have integrity. None.
So you
he didn't
you
tell me how much
have a good shop or a bad shop. Mm-hmm. And there's turnover, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Those stores are tough.
Yeah, it's a really, really bad organization. Don't use them. But that's my PSA to keep you safe, folks. You're welcome.
So where should they go?
Greenfield Auto Care.
We love Eric.
I don't think Eric wants any more business, but he's like, no, don't tell him that. Don't tell him where I am. It's probably what it is, but that's okay.
Well,
you know, but no, yeah, because he's the one that had those wheels off. Apparently, he can deal with swollen lug nuts. I have to stop by there on Monday tomorrow to drop off a check, and I'm going to tell you about the swollen lug nuts.
You should just call before he opens, just with that message.
Swollen lug nuts.
Yes.
He even showed me, look, here's the 21. It doesn't fit. This one's too big. It's like, dude, look. Eric probably has he's a man, so he can use a lug wrench, so he can just take it off the pipe. He doesn't need an impact wrench. Or B, he knows that sometimes, if it's even a thing, is a problem, so he has a special set of lug nuts to remove it. And he is not a tire shop. You are Firestone. What does Firestone make?
Tires.
Yes.
They sell tires too.
Yes, they do.
I think they install tires.
Uh-huh.
If they can get your swollen lug nuts off.
Swollen lug nuts.
So you should call Eric. In between episodes, you should call and leave a message saying, I just want to inform you, you need to get some medical attention.
Swollen
because
lug
you
nuts.
May have been exposed to some type of virus.
Yeah.
Because the lug nuts you took off of my tires apparently are swollen.
Swollen lug nuts. It's a thing with Ford. Metal's metal, folks. I'm sorry. Swollen lug nuts. So, I don't know.
I had that too, Scott. I had swollen lug nuts. It was very difficult for me because I had to walk around with a wheelbarrow in front of me all the time. It was embarrassing.
A wheelbarrow.
Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking about testicles, are we?
What's that got to do with lug nuts?
You're talking about cars? Oh, shit. I thought, I had big balls one time. It was a viral condition. I was very excited about it. Then they kept getting bigger, and I was less excited about it. You can't be stealthy with swollen testicles. You just can't. You know. And in my line of work, it's not really, it's not my job. No. In my line of, what's the word?
work
perversion, you have to be stealthy. So I'm just saying,
stealthy.
You know, you can't sneak up on somebody with swollen lug nuts with a rag full of chloroform and knock them out. They hear you coming. Because you're like, damn, my nuts are swollen. They turn around like, why do you have a rag in your hand? You have very big testicles.
Hello.
Hi. It's awkward. So.
Why do you have a rag in your hand, sir?
Why are your balls so big? Then you maybe don't need the rag. If you're better looking. Anyway.
Paletour.
Yes. This is a decent wine. Drinkable. It's not on the same level as the Chateau La Roque. That was a really good wine. But it's also not as overdone as Rothschild's Legend series and Clarendel. They were both a little bit overdone, too jazzy.
I get it. I think I prefer the Clarendel to this.
Well, the Legend was very jazzy. The Clarendel, it's not about preference. I'm not really throwing preference in there.
Okay.
The Clarendel, it's been too long since we've had it, but it's another $5.
Mm-hmm. This has a little murkiness about it in the mid palate. It's like this wine.
I like the mid palate.
Insipid. It's just a little soft for what it is. Like the stringency.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. It's more low. It should be astringent.
Yeah.
But where's the mid palate? There's just that's where it falls short for me.
I don't know about
that. I like the finish. Front palate's fine.
I think the mid palate is the strong point of this wine.
Really?
A little bit of chocolate, a little bit of tobacco. Is it minor? Yes. It's the strong point, though, relative to the rest of the wine. Because the wine itself isn't too grandiose. It's not a big wine. It's not something that's going to... I mean, it's bigger, medium-bodied, but it's not like a full-body wine. It's not something that is going to strike you with its richness, or it's not decadent or not wildly complex. But it's kind of like, you know, a bologna sandwich. You like a bologna sandwich sometimes, a little mustard on there. It's good. Is it haute cuisine? No.
No.
But it's good. You like it. You know, that's what this wine kind of is. It's got all the elements it needs to have. It doesn't go beyond that, but it has the elements you need to have, and it's pleasing. The front palate is a bit creamy. That's nice. The mid palate has a little bit of chocolate there, a little bit, a little tobacco, which is nice. And the finish shows a little bit of woodiness in a restrained way, which is nice. It has a little bit of length, and that's nice. So it has a lot of nice elements. Does any of them really sing? The only thing I would say that sings more than anything else might be the texture of the front palate. But the fruit is a little muted.
Very.
But
we kind of sort of expect that.
Now, I understand when you're saying some of the wine, like Clarendel is a weightier wine, so there's that. But some of these wines have a little bit, and like the Roque was a weightier wine. And some wines have a little more of a hard edge to them. They are a little bit more, well, austere, but in a good way. You know, they're leaner, they're more tannic, they're harder edge. And sometimes those are very, very nice. However, sometimes with these French wines, they are a little sulfuric, and they need to blow off multiple ones. Like anything, most of the things that I find, the cheap ones, like from Chateau, I think, de Bourg, those things are sulfuric half the time, and you have to let them blow off overnight before you can even really drink them. The one thing that kind of defies that is Kirkland Signature's Bordeaux Superieur.
I like that.
It's a really nice drinker. Matter of fact, we have a little bit back here. We're going to sample that shortly just to compare it to this. And it's been open since yesterday, so we'll see. But this is one of those wines you're like, it gets the job done. It's a base hit, solid base hit.
Okay, I think you like it more than me.
Well, no,
for me, the tobacco thing, the minerality thing, it's more towards the finish.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, it's not big, but it's there.
Nice. You're being too nice.
It's there. You just don't have a very strong palate.
Did you fall on your head this weekend? You're being too nice about this wine.
No, I think it's pretty good. You think it's pretty good, too. We'll probably have the same fucking score. Yeah. If I opened that on a Saturday night, I'd be going, yeah. Nice. I've had better. I've had worse.
Yeah. That's fair right there. I've had better. I've had worse.
And this, I think, really fits in with... I mean, it's not as good as Bordeaux. Bordeaux is a very good wine. But it doesn't embarrass itself. It's enjoyable.
It does not embarrass itself.
No.
Other than it's demonstrating that it's oaked and they say it's not.
Well, other than that dipshittery, but that's okay. Now, that being said, I would buy this again. I wouldn't buy a lot of it, but I'd buy it here and there. I like it. It's nice. You know, it's one of those things. And I think that also... It's a style, I think, that can be replicated each year. And so I think it's going to be consistent. I don't think it's ever going to go into these turd levels where you're going to find it at Costco for $8.99. No. You're not going to find this wine there because they'll sell it at $15. That's the thing. Often when you see the Costco deals where you might see an $18 wine of this level that they're selling for $9.99 or $8.99, it's because it was one of these that just couldn't sell. I don't give a shit if the enthusiast gave it a $92. It couldn't sell. What I have, like, the Chateau Grand La Dame in there. It has like the lady picture of a lady in the front, like a locket kind of looking thing, like a mother of pearl locket kind of front. And I had seen that before around $12, $13, $14, and they were selling it a little bit discounted in there. And I've had it. I have another bottle in there, but it's one of those wines. It has to blow off a little bit.
Yeah.
Chateau, what was it, La Hoyt? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a Côte de Castillon. It was one of those wines. You opened it, you better leave it till the next day because it needed to blow off. It had a little bit of a sulfuric nature to it. It can be drinkable the next day, but those are wines that have a lot more flaws, where that one originally, the Hoyt was in the $14 range, but it didn't sell, so then they had to sell it through Costco at $7-$8. I've never seen this one at Costco for $7-$8. If you see this someplace, folks, and if it's in your market for $7, $8, $9, buy it. Buy it. If you see it for $9.99, and you might. In certain markets, you might see this for $10 or less. Buy it. It'd be a great buy. A great, great purchase. Because I'm sure $15, whatever it is, here, that's on the high side because we're always more expensive in Ohio for wine. Would you agree with that?
It seems that way. I mean...
I defy you to find something from California that's Merlot that's this good.
Oh, easy, Hot Rod. I can name three things Merlots that I like better than this.
At $10?
Oh, at this price.
Yes. Yes, of course you can name Merlots that are better than this. We just had the
price point.
The crew, I had that for $7, but yeah, whatever. Not this price point? No. 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 Not something that honorably represents Merlot. I mean, there's some that represent Merlot in a way you don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could go get, like, the Columbia Crest Grand Estates, but that's some sort of amalgamation of Merlot. It's a drink. It's a red drink. But that wine doesn't taste like classic Merlot.
I don't remember the Columbia Crest.
You never bought it again.
I think you and Becky
loved it. You pretended to love it. And it tasted like something that Apothic would make and put, like, Red Velvet as the name. It wasn't sweet, but it was pretty grandiose.
It had real nice mouthfeel.
Oh, man.
I haven't looked for it, but I haven't seen that in a Red Hot Second. What is a domestic Merlot at this price point that I would like more?
I don't know. That isn't on closeout as the other.
Yeah. That's just a good question.
Because first of all...
I'm sure it exists, though, because this is...
No. No, you can't do that. Even though you want to put this wine down.
Well, I'm not putting it down. It's just not my favorite.
Well, it's not my favorite either, but... I mean, it's not a nice drinker. It is. The one thing it doesn't do, and it's cheap, so it doesn't do this. It doesn't transport me. So there's that.
I've got it.
No, but this is good. Better. What?
I know what's better.
What? What do you have to type that in for? What is better? Announce it.
McManus.
First of all,
it's an undervalued wine.
It is, but we never had the Merlot to know. And I'm pretty sure that the McManus Merlot is not good.
That's it?
It's not.
I think you're... Oh.
McManus.
Oh.
We never had McManus. Winte's Merlot was okay. The Standstone, I think it was okay. But...
Oh, guess where McManus's Merlot fruit comes from?
Lodi?
It does.
Shocker. Yeah. You rethinking that now, Trigger?
Well...
Lodi is not a big place. Let me just revisit this. They can't, like... I mean, what the hell, man? Do they have it, like, terraformed so there's, like, stacks and stacks of vineyards? It's, like, stacked up to the sky? Oh, I don't know. Lodi is... There's no real... I mean, you know... They're not saying Lodi AVA next to that. That's just Lodi-ish. Because that's a big basin. What is it?
They actually did say Lodi AVA. They do. It does.
I mean, they're stretching that. Because the area, it's just south of Sacramento. That is a big wine-growing region. But a lot of it's commercial-grade stuff. It's not bespoke. There's not a lot of... You know, bespoke wines. Now, Turley does some stuff there. There are some wineries that do some good stuff there. There are some good single vineyards within Lodi. A few. But the majority of it is basin stuff where it's just big farm stuff. It's not hand harvested, really. It's, you know, like Bogle.
There's a lot of it on the market.
There's no room for anybody else with Bogle being there. I mean, Bogle makes so much fucking wine. And, like, their old vines in. Do they have a Lodi designation on that? I know they make it around Clarksburg, but do they have a Lodi designation on that? They might not.
I think they do.
I don't know that they do. Because, I mean, if it's old vine, but it's just Californian, how do you... I mean, we know how Becky feels about ancient vine, but, you know.
Yeah, well...
By the way, Triple B tried to call me earlier, and I did not answer.
I'm
sure you heard the ring, and so I put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
You're in trouble. We're going to do this thing again.
What?
Winte Merlot Sandstone, $14.49 at thetotalwine.com.
Yeah, give me this every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
I'm.
Do you remember drinking Sandstone?
I don't, but I'm going to do it just because I want it to be better than this.
Why do you want it to be better than this?
Hey, Josh Sellers is on sale for their Merlot for $10.77.
I will punch you in the nuts right now.
Bonterra.
A pinnacle of wine quality.
Bonterra.
What's Callaway going for right now? What's Fetzer? Fetzer Eagle Peak Merlot. I want to know.
You forgot. Red Diamond.
I didn't forget.
Where's yet?
What?
Chateau Sauvrain.
You know, Chateau Sauvrain, in a distant memory, years ago, like the late 90s, they made one. They used to make Alexander Valley stuff. It was actually, they were a good producer. Oh, how that has changed.
Well.
You know. Although we had one of their Cabernets, we hated it originally, then we tasted the next one, it was okay, but they have some quality control issues. But who the hell, there's no Chateau at that Sauvrain, so.
Well.
That. Back when I had it in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a Chateau.
I've got another one you'll respect.
What's that?
Pepperwood Grove.
You mean the Chilean Merlot?
C.K. Mondavi, $5.99.
What is that? Isn't there like a jeans, like C.K., it's something you buy at like the Kmart? But it had like a designerish name on it. So that's why I always think of C.K. Mondavi.
Calvin Klein had a C.K. line.
Oh, yeah. And so you'd buy it at Walmart or Kmart. And so that's what I always say. And C.K. Mondavi is...
Sears.
Okay.
I don't know.
They are the Walmart Mondavi. And I think Michael Mondavi would take umbrage to that, but still.
Entwine, Merlot. Chasewater Winery Merlot.
What about Estancia?
Fulinari Merlot.
Fulinari, they used to do some good stuff.
Mountain Merlot.
Mountain Merlot.
Oh, that's a heavy
Is it on a mountain?
It has like a three mountains that look curiously like woman's breasts, except there's three of them. And then in the background is the Japanese flag.
What?
Sunrise. Yeah, Mountain Merlot.
It's from Japan, then. It's an alternative universe when Japan won the war. Could be.
There's a lot of those books going around.
I know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on The Wine Boat. So on tonight's potpourri, we are going to go back and forth discussing what do we believe. And there are lots of articles. You can just Google this and just find some dumbass articles. And they're going to talk about
sustainability and values. Blah, 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 blah.
Now, what do we think the new wine trends will be over the next 5 years? And if I see anyone, you're not going to say,
people are going to buy wines based on values. Fuck off, man. That's a stupid PC bullshit thing. Nobody gives a fuck.
Five people give a fuck. Five people is not everybody. It's five people. That's what we always... I saw someone say, well, you know, did so-and-so cross the line with what they said? And the point is, well, the line that you're discussing is not actually shared by the majority of the populace. So, no, they didn't. So,
and there's a lot of different lines out there.
Yeah, and that doesn't... Yeah, so there is no value-based purchasing on wine. Who's research... When you're in a grocery store, are you like, what is the values of Louis Martini? I'm going to look that up.
Well,
no.
I don't think that's a trend. I just think that's human nature.
What, to be a douche?
No, for people to spend a certain amount of money and they're just not comfortable buying $25.
No.
What was that, a horn? Was that a seal?
What was
that?
Values based on, no, like morals, not cost.
Oh.
That kind of value.
Values.
Yeah.
For wine?
Seriously, that's what was on, that was the, they said that's going to be... That's going to be guiding people's purchases.
Well, I think it already does.
How? There's no value.
Listen, there's a new number one beer in America.
Oh, but that's because they are dumb.
Okay, but I think that's what people are talking about when they talk about values and I'm going to buy based on the values of this product and this company.
So Budweiser said, okay, we have a transgender? I don't know what the hell. Spokesperson for Bud Light. It's an odd choice for Bud Light. Just so you understand, Bud Light, your fan base or your drinkers probably aren't transgender. I hate to say that.
But I'll bet, just like...
They don't know what that is, Stu, so, you know. No.
I don't think it matters what your race is. I don't think it matters what your sex is. I don't think it matters what you like to do to who, what, or what animal. There's a lot of people drinking Bud Light.
Unfortunately. But,
and
also, when you pick a YouTuber, I mean, there are famous YouTubers. That's not a famous... I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, what do we...
That's what people are talking about.
That's what was on there, number one. Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a trend. I think it's going to be this 15-minute of fame thing.
Yeah, it's just it's like a talking point. Oh, wow, look at... No. Nobody's... No.
I don't see how that...
No.
...impacts the wine industry
Oh, they think it does.
The way that, that
how are you, your eco diversity and all
that's a fact.
But
that,
yeah,
that's a real thing.
But once again, though, when people buy wine, they don't research it. We're the only ones, and researcher for a podcast. People do not look up shit. They don't. And when they're in a store, they're not saying, you know, is Leaping Lizard White Zinfandel eco diverse? Is
Benzingers.
Benzinger, I know. They do. They have like the bees, you know, and they have the plants and the bees. But I also know Benzinger tastes like shit. So I'm not going to buy that. But.
So you're going to get the Eagle Eyes Zinfandel?
Naomi. Now, the factory that it's made in. It's like, that would exclude like 90% of the stuff in grocery stores. They're made in a fucking factory.
Does the smokestack at the factory have a scrubber for the air? I don't know. Let me look.
I mean, seriously.
Are the pallets made of bamboo or that they bring in the wine? Or are they renewable? I don't know. Is there a windmill near the factory that they pushed a button on to make my apothec?
It's
the sugar cane that they harvest.
It's just a marketing tool. However, you know, many wineries have been making wine in methods that are considered sustainable from the dawn of time.
Yes, and some of them. The thing is, though, someone's not saying, you know, my wine has these plants that are next to the vineyard. And, you know, bees, they go to the plants, you know, and they like them and they pollinate. And then these plants are also icky to the bad bugs. So they don't need to put pesticides on there. And you know what? They poop themselves onto the vines and therefore... It is like they don't use fertilizers. They just defecate themselves on them. And they themselves have an organic diet. They're vegans. So there's that. So they're vegan feces on the vines. And that makes this very organic. However, it tastes like that too. So I'm not going to buy it. And I'm going to buy Naomi because it's made in a factory. And I like it because it has bubbles, even though it's not supposed to. That's the conversation they have.
It's just...
That's not a new character on the show, by the way, folks.
I think...
Maybe I am. I am the public that likes to drink certain wines. That's this voice.
I think the trend...
I'm the moral authority voice. I'm better than you.
Okay.
I like wines where the proprietors make their own manure out of their own feces.
You're kind of full of feces, aren't you, sir?
Yes. Why did you say I'm a sir?
The trend for the next 5 years is going to be the trend of the last 15. And if anything, it's going to accelerate.
What's that?
We're going to see more and more mass-produced, mass-marketed wines.
Unfortunately.
And over time, you're going to see these family-produced wines slowly but surely leave the market. And they're not going to leave the market. They're just going to be something else.
Well, they're going to continually trying to find ways to reduce overhead because a wine, there's a considerable amount of overhead in that. Just think. To buy an acre in Napa Valley is ludicrously expensive. So just owning the land, to buy the land and starting new wineries is expensive. So you're not going to see necessarily a lot of wineries start that are estate wines. You might see a winery start that is sourcing grapes because that's a far cheaper way to do it. You can't afford to go buy 75 acres in Napa Valley. That would be...
Oh my God.
I mean, you'd have to charge $300 for your bottle. It's just, it's something beyond, it's something that's beyond rational thought. You couldn't make a profit. And you might see some of these upstarts come in And they don't make great wine, but they're charging these ridiculous prices because they have to. They don't have the they can't justify. Say their wine is a $25 bottle of wine, but they're charging $115. Why?
Because they have to make a profit.
That's their overhead.
Keep the fucking doors open.
And they have to put that on there. That's why you might see.
We took our trip. We were in Central Coast, and it was a brilliant. We had a great experience. Spent money, but at the end of the day, what they had to offer, price wise, I was just like, "Oh, I want to buy your $125 bottle of wine. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger on it."
Well, in France, Italy, Europe, for the most part, prices are cheaper because land, estates, are passed down through generations. So there isn't the overhead for a lot of these producers. Like, say you had a small producer, for instance. Their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and so forth, were also the proprietors. It's a family business. So they do not have $150 million in loans for land. They don't have it. They own it, generally, free and clear. They don't have that amount of overhead. So therefore, they don't have to charge an exorbitant amount. They can make a profit at $17, $18. That's how that works in Europe, most generally, because it's a generational thing. It's tradition. You pass it on. In the United States, it isn't like that because, A, it's a far newer practice, and we have been making wine like they have for the period of time we have. Also, there's so much more corporate influence and corporate involvement. So, you know, you have the gallows, you have the treasuries, you have the, you know, the constellations that
they aren't going to allow the year-to-year variability in product. It's just not what they do. It's the whole point of having a board is to make money, and you have to answer to the board. They're not going to listen to that winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think another trend that maybe looking a little further out, I think with the climate change that we're seeing, I think there's going to be areas of traditional winemaking that are damaged, surely, absolutely, positively. But I also think it's going to be opportunities for other regions that traditionally weren't as quality, but because of change in their local climate, I think you're going to see better conditions for wine.
Well, you're seeing more investment too. I mean, often it belies an investment as well as just climate. So, say Virginian wines, right? You have the hills. You do have a decent climate for that, close to the ocean, certain way in a certain sense. But you see investment there. You're going to see better wines made in other areas based on A, technology, B, and B, investments. So you, like, for instance, even in France, the 1855 classification for left bank wines, all right, that was a one-time shot. Napoleon ordered it, and they never changed it. So you have first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Those wines have always been that, regardless of how good they are. You might have, for instance, a third growth classification that costs $45 currently, where a fifth growth costs $300. Why? Because there's been investment in the fifth growth, but there hasn't been in the third growth. So, just like that, other places, investment makes money. If somebody, investment makes a difference in quality. So if you go in and put money into bringing these wineries back, bringing these vineyards back, that's one thing that Turley does. They bring back things.
Mm-mm-mm.
And you can make something great off something that has been dormant. But it's all about money. So if Ohio, for instance, I mean, it's an intemperate climate, but it's not all that different than Germany. If certain conditions were met and investment was there, they could find a way to make high quality wines. But you'd have to have the worthwhile investment. They're not going to put $100 million in an Ohio winery. They'd be fucking stupid.
No.
So you don't do that, so you don't have the growth. In New York, in the Finger Lakes, you have a little bit of that, a sneaking towards that, a little bit here and there. So you see better quality wines. Same thing with Virginia. So you might see that even increase. New Mexico even has some stuff going on.
Yep. I mean, in the mountains.
So there's a little bit here and there, and you're going to see possibly where Napa costs so much also to just for the land. You're going to see people that are going to take a try at other areas. And so, and you're going to see winemaking probably expand a little bit, at least in the New World.
Rob Dern, wine guy.
Yeah.
You hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Where are you going to invest your money in an up-and-coming region?
Do I have a choice of where these things are? Okay, give me a choice.
Where do you want to go? Where would you invest $5
million? $5
million? Yeah.
It's not very much money.
Charlie, you're buying in somewhere.
See, it's going to be based on tourism, though. I'd still probably go to California because the return on the investment is going to be greater. Yeah, okay, $5 million gets you more in Virginia in a stake, but quite frankly, just the people that are walking through, and just the tourism level is so much greater in California for wine that's where you go.
Just to make good wine, to turn something around, where would you go?
$5 million won't do much. So that's a limiting factor. So if you're going to do that, I don't even know if it would do anything of any value anywhere. I don't even think you could do a $5 million wine project in Ohio. I don't think that's enough money. It isn't. It's just that winemaking is that expensive on a commercial scale. So give me another dollar figure and maybe I can help you. But not $5 million. That wouldn't do you anything. You could put an archway in somewhere.
Where would you like to buy in at for $5 million? $5 million dollars. Where would you like to buy in at?
Well, California.
That's so boring. That's so cliche.
But I mean, there's no... $5 million is such a low figure. Okay. It's not going to get you anything, but at least that's where the money is.
How much do you think you're winning in the lottery?
I don't know. But that's not that much. I mean, if you're going to put your money, you're going to put your money where it's actually being made. I mean, California, Washington, Oregon, that's where the stuff is. In the United States, that's where the money is. It didn't get you much, but I'm going to invest in an unknown place in Virginia. It's unknown. Nobody knows about it. So what's your $5 million going to do? You're still not going to get a majority stake for that. So 10% of $100 million is more than 10% of $1 million, or than 50% of $1 million.
Of course.
I mean, so that's what we're talking about here, you know? I'm not even sure it's that much. So, nevertheless, folks.
You're not playing well.
It's a stupid premise. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the 2019 Chateau Pays La Tour by Maison Durth. I had to look at it again. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
Not my favorite thing. Rob, the wine guy, likes it better than I do.
Yes, but I'm more stingy with my points.
Buy it again?
You wouldn't buy it again?
No,
you didn't buy it once.
I know. But it's not something I would purchase. There's just too many other things that I like. I mean, why would I buy this when I could buy Chateau Bordeaux?
Well, then that's fair enough. You'd buy Chateau Bordeaux. Well,
for sure.
It's the same price too.
Actually, and it's the same price. It's just, and it's
that wine is superior to this in all
and it's
respects.
It's not even a fair comparison.
But that's a really, really good wine.
It's and you.
We gave it like 91 points.
We're like three vintages into it now.
Yeah, but we gave that wine like 91 points.
Yes.
So that's a great wine. Great wine. It's that's a unique thing. But you don't want to drink the same thing every time.
I not down with this the way Rob is, and that's okay. I don't get the mid palate in this. I think it's a disjointed's not the right word, but mm-hmm. I just don't. I don't feel there's a continuity between the front, the mid, to the finish. The best quality of this is the oaking that they say didn't exist.
There's that.
I mean. So I'm going to pull a triple B, and I'm going to knock it down a point because
oh, don't do that stupid shit. That's fucking stupid.
I am. They said it's aged in stainless steel and it's plainly fucking oaked.
Mutt. I swear to God. That's so.
You just called your wife
a mutt.
That's
the lamest. I know. And that's the lamest that shit she ever has done.
Well,
I think that the label is the wrong color. And so I'm going to.
You're getting fired. That's all there is to it. I'm talking to the executive producer.
I am.
No, Rebecca's the executive producer.
Really? Where is she?
Executive producer means it was her idea. It's
not
thing.
Her idea. She didn't have two ideas.
I would give this an 85, except I'm not. I'm giving it an 84 because
oh, that's a terrible score, Scott. That is. Bags. Oh,
I
my
don't care
God.
For it. I'm at
you're
85.
Just a
that's
dipshit.
Where I'm at.
You got something wrong with you. Maybe you had a stroke or something like that.
No, it's just not my favorite.
It's back to me because Scott's a dick. This wine is a really nice drinker. Bord Nu exists. It's hard to. I mean, that's a really good wine. This is a fine wine. This does a really nice job. It's really representative of like the Bordeaux Superior level. It's not wildly complex. It's not that interesting, but it's a really pleasant drink. I would give it 87 of my points. It's not 88. It's an 87 all day long. Strong wine. Yeah, it's recommended, especially if you found it. If in your market you see it for $9-$10, that's a really good buy for this wine. It really is. 15. Bord Nu exists. It really does. There's a couple other ones that I know that I can't pronounce right off the top of my head that I also know that are better than this. But this wine isn't bad. And I've had so many wines that are. What about Chateau Franc Magus? Remember that?
We've had some bad ones.
There's a lot of ones, Scott, that are bad. And this wine is just nice. It's a little bit like Thanksgiving dinner-ish. It's just like, that's nice. It's just fine. It's a good drinking wine. You're like, you know what? I recognize, that's Bordeaux. It tastes like Bordeaux, but it's Bordeaux easy. It's a nice one if someone's like, well, I've never had Bordeaux before. I'm a little scared. Maybe it'll be too earthy to this, to that. Hey, you know what? Chateau Pelletour is a nice little introduction because it does represent a lot of the things that Bordeaux is. And it's not some sort of jazzed up wine line like Clarendel is or Legend. Those are bad representations. If you're trying to figure out what Bordeaux is, you don't pick those. It's like saying, I would like to find out what a circus is. Okay, go to Cirque du Soleil. No, that's not a fucking circus. That's people dancing and shit. It's not circus.
It's a modern circus. You don't understand art.
The Soleil. There's no elephants, man. They're not abusing animals in the back. They're not beating a tiger. That's a circus. So, you know.
One of the dancers was a little overweight when I went the one time. I think they fell.
You laughed, didn't you?
I was shocked.
You were shocked that they were fat?
That they fell.
Oh, you're like, that's a fat dancer. Did you say it out loud? That one's fat.
No, but my wife did.
She probably did. Why is that fat bitch out there? I've never been able to. It's so damn dark in those damn theaters at Vegas. I never was able to really make anybody out. I'm like, oh, there's something moving. Oh, there's that. Okay. No. I saw Beatles Love, I think. And
that's the only one I didn't see.
It's nice.
And
I mean,
it might be a darker environment.
I don't do a lot of shows. I mean, I'm there in full
culture.
Time. I just.
Lacking.
I'd rather like, well, no, it's not that. It's just, we only went to one. The only other times I've been there with you. What, you and I are going to go to a fucking concert? Or like
I'll go to a show.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm like, look at those guys. Well, shouldn't you be at Thunder Down Under, you two? Let's go to Cirque du Soleil, Scott.
I'll go to Cirque du Soleil.
If you said that to me, I would look at you like,
I don't give a shit.
It's like,
I'm comfortable in my own culture.
Locking the bedroom door tonight. That's what I'm saying.
No harder to pick than any other night.
Let's get some pickled carrots and go see Cirque du Soleil, Rob. Did you and Hank go do that?
No.
See, Hank and the Australian Russian and Scott used to go on lovers weekends or trips to Vegas with each other by themselves. And what they would do is they would have a one bedroom room. They'd sleep together nude and have sex.
No.
They just had sex the whole time with each other. Not other people. Right?
No.
Because Hank, well, I can't say that. Well, he wanted a blowjob and you gave him, well, you told him you'd give him one, right?
No.
Am I muddling the story?
Yes, you are. And we're not going to tell the story because that'd be inappropriate.
That's the gist of the story, though.
No, it's not.
Well, it's the Cliff Notes version, right?
You're a bad man.
What part of it is incorrect?
All of it.
No, not all of it. There's parts of it.
I'm not going to tell
the
story.
Maybe the blowjob and you doing it or the incorrect part. Hank wanted something. I don't know.
He didn't want anything.
He wanted something.
No.
He wanted it from you. Yes. No. Yes. The superstar, Steve Gibson, would confirm my accounts.
He knows nothing.
He only knows enough.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
That is funny. He never responded. Mr. Steve, he had a problem at his employment where he fell down by the dishwasher on the floor and could not get up.
No, that's not true.
That's what my wife told me. That's what Triple B told me. He couldn't get up.
I asked and he's okay.
Well, he's okay now because someone helped him up. But that's a point. Elderly, Scott, you included, although you're far more... You're in a lot better shape than Steve is. Vastly better shape. Maybe me, too. But you need Med Alert. Go back and watch those videos. If Steve had that little bracelet or that little necklace thing, he could have pressed a button.
You're so fucking wrong.
And a strong man could have helped him. He needs it if he's going to have slip and falls.
Be a strong man.
He needs...
Can do push-ups and sit-ups.
Steve could not.
The clean and jerk.
Steve could not get up when he falls down. So,
oh, Rocky, you gotta love
how much longer until Steve has a walker? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's just fucking wrong, dude.
That's a good question. No, it's a question. It's not wrong. I'm just asking the question.
The thought process behind
you could answer
is
the question.
Wrong.
No, it's not.
I will not answer. The
I'm
question.
Not. I'm concerned about his health.
No, you're not. You're
no,
mocking
I'm not.
Him.
Yes, I am. Ah! Oh, he's just laying there like a turtle.
I can't get up.
It's a douche. Fucking ass clown.
I fell down. I can't get up.
He's like, yeah. I can't do it. Did he cry?
I want to know. Bad back.
Okay. What's that have to do with it?
He had a fusion surgery. He's injured.
Jesus Christ. Then you should have his fucking Med Alert bracelet. Man, I'm going to get him one of those things. How much do they cost? Probably too much. I'm not going to spend any money on him. But, you know, I'll get him a whistle. It'll be a rape whistle, but somebody that's that incapable, he needs that too. So, you know, there could be some 90-year-old woman that takes a pass at him. He'll need that rape whistle, that's for sure.
Oh,
so.
Lord, what is the fuck is wrong with you?
So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.